This episode of Super Boothers is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/superboothers. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Hello and welcome to Super Boothers. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Ismail.
And we're super excited to debut our first question and answer episode.
We are so excited. Everyone sent such amazing questions and we had a hard time narrowing them all down. So thank you and please, please, please keep them coming.
Yeah, we especially love the audio questions. Hearing everyone's voice kind of adds a little flavor to it. And Ryan's right, there was a lot of really good ones and we'd love to do more of these. So keep them coming.
And a little like insider secret, if you send us the audio one, you have seriously increased your chances of being on the show by like 10 times. The audio questions. So this is how it works. The audio questions will be on shows like this. The topic questions will end up being like things that we ask guests and stuff like that. So one of the episodes we have coming up is the big accounting episode. That's going to be a really, really, really awesome one to look for.
Yeah, I think Ryan's totally right. When you ask the audio question, you do increase your chances. And the ones, like you said, that are being submitted via text, we try to fit them in with interviews with our guests. Like we got a lot of great accounting questions that we'll ask the CPA that we'll have on and use that more of a discussion starter. But the audio ones will get a special episode for themselves. So look forward to getting more of those.
Let's get to it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Here's our first question.
Hello, my name is Sharon, and I'm the owner of Press, Pose, and Print photo booths based in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. My question is about microsites. Would you please describe what they are, how to set one up, and how to sell the benefits of microsites to corporate customers?
Thank you so much for that question, Sharon. It's a great question, and I'm actually looking forward to learning from Ryan about this because he's got a lot more experience selling microsites to his clients. So I'll let Ryan take the lead on this one.
So microsites are a way to deliver your digital content to the consumer or to the guest, rather. There are a lot of corporate clients that will almost require you to do it. I know that in the past, whenever they weren't as readily available, you're just being able to text a photo or to email a photo. Microsites are a game changer in that instead of texting the photo, you text a link. That link, someone has to click on to be able to view their photo. Just by the simple fact of them clicking it, you're able to get analytics on what they're doing with it. So you will have a microsite that is a mini version of the brand of whatever you're doing. I did an event for Houston Children's Festival, and we did a microsite for a news station down there. And what they did is we did a little kids news desk. It was branded with all sorts of colors that we are still kind of kept in the same system. In this microsite, you're able to share on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook, download the photo, click a gallery to see all the rest of the photos. Most of the iPad softwares have a version of microsites. I use SnapPic. I know that a lot of other people use Curator. I believe Simple Booth has a similar version. I don't think it's as customizable as the other two, but most definitely useful. From there, the microsite has a couple of different elements. It has the photo, it has the social sharing buttons on there, and you also have an opportunity to put your branding on there. After a very large event, you will get inquiries from having your little logo on the bottom right-hand corner by saying, you know, hey, this photo experience was brought to you by and your business name. I think the main reason why corporate clients use it is for the analytics. Before, you would just text out a photo and it would just be like pissing into the wind and you would have no idea where it would go. Now we're able to tell our clients where these photos are being used. Sometimes we use specific hashtags and you're actually able to give a number of how many times this particular photo was shared.
And now just to add to that, for people who are not familiar with microsites, what, like you mentioned the analytics, if you're uploading things without a microsite onto social media, you still get an analytics, right, of how much reach there is, how many times it was uploaded, where it was uploaded. What's the real difference in analytics with the microsites for the corporate client that they're willing to pay more for this type of service?
So yes, there is a basic analytics with what they do with it. However, I think the big difference is whenever the guest gets it texted to themselves, they're not necessarily doing it on your unit. So anytime I've done an activation like this, we have texted the photo to the consumer, and then they get the link of where their specific photo is and then what they do with it after the fact. Now it's very readily available. Before, it really, really wasn't. And you had to kind of be a little bit smart about programming and figuring out how to get your photos up there.
So when you say they get to see what people do with the site afterwards or the picture afterwards, what do you mean by that specifically? What do they get to see?
They get to see if they shared it on Facebook. They get to see it if they posted it on Twitter. They get to see if they downloaded it. They get to see if they posted it on Instagram. I mean, so those are real. That's money to marketing agencies. Yeah,
you can quantify the reach, the shares, the engagement to the corporate client, and that makes it extremely valuable for them.
Yeah, and what makes it, I think, more valuable is, and you know what? I'm actually going to log into my little thing right here because it gives me analytics on how many people viewed whatever those people posted. So for example, let's say you post a photo and let's say you post on Facebook. Let's say you have 2,000 friends on Facebook. Let's say that 800 people saw that. That really wouldn't be an accurate number for one person. I think that more accurate number is 200. There's a difference between a share and a view and an impression. All those have different definitions depending on what software you're using, but the concepts really still are the same. So how many shares is how many times an individual took their photo and posted it. And the reach is, you know, the 30,000 people that saw, you know, the 2,000 photos that were published on social media.
And this might be taking it a little, you know, sideways, but when you sell this to your corporate clients, I know they love analytics and all that stuff, and then they you know, they foam at the mouth for these things. Is it really just like a vanity metric where they just like to see the numbers, or is there actually value provided to them when, you know, there's 2,000 views of the photo? Like, what's the real motivation for them? Is it really just the person that's hiring you wants to be able to report numbers back to their boss? I think understanding this makes it easier for you to sell and position this as a service.
Sure. So I've had clients that were both. So I've had the client that was the little girl that needs to report to her boss and say, you know what? Oh my gosh, this activation, that was my idea. We did such a good job. We had 2,000 views of, you know, the 350 sessions that we did. I think part of that, it's a little bit of vanity. I have another client who is the boss, and he absolutely wants to know how many sessions were done, how many views he's getting, how many times it was shared, and really see if the message that they are trying to convey actually goes out there. Whenever you have brands that do this, they just need to see that their message is getting out there. I think that if you have maybe like a retail implication, it's really harder to see conversions on this. So I have one client that is a dentist that we just installed a photo booth permanently in the waiting room. He's a pediatric dentist. And, you know, we see how many sessions are done a day and how the moms are posting it. Will we be able to track how many people are coming in because they saw those photos on social media? No, I just don't think the technology is there yet. I think that maybe we'll be able to see it in the future. That's another thing with ads as well, is we are creatures that need to have repetition in order for anything to stick. If we see something, you know, one or two times, it doesn't really stick. 5, 6, 7, 8 times, okay, now there's a little bit of brand recognition. If someone is seeing this more often, it just kind of helps solidify their place in the market.
So bringing it back to Sharon, I think, well, the first takeaway that I get is that you have to understand the motivation of your client before you can pitch this to them. What would you tell someone like Sharon who's, you know, getting curious about microsites, starting to explore it, and wants to start offering it to their clients? Would you be selective about it at first? How would you determine who would be a good person to, you know, start offering it to first, getting the experience? What would you tell her to kind of keep this exploration of microsites going?
I'd absolutely sell it to anyone and everyone that rented a photo booth from me. I think that you can sell it to a bride and a groom, just as wedding websites did, you know, a few years back. It's all about how you sell it and how you paint it out to a customer. I would sell it to a bride. Hey, listen, we can put, you know, your bride and groom name. I'll tell you what, I'll take a picture of your event before anyone gets there. I'll upload it to have it as the background of your microsite. I've actually done that on the spot. And she was, oh my God, this is amazing. How can you do that? It's just lightning fast. It's real time. And then you have, you know, a bigger customer like, you know, Nike. Hey, listen, let's put in, you know, the swoosh. Let's put in the just do it. Let's put it in a GIF. Let's put it on, you know, a little background of whatever we're trying to accomplish. You're immersing yourself in the brand. And I think that that's the most important takeaway of a microsite is you are continuing the romance by whenever you click it, you're brought to another site that still has its same branding, that still has those same colors. I think it's a little bit more cohesive. Great question, Sharon. On to the next.
Hey, Super Boothers. This is Jonathan with Photobomb Photo Booths. Check me out at itsphotobomb.com. That's I-T-S photobomb.com. I'm out of Houston, Texas. I just want to say thank you so much for providing this resource. You guys are doing a great job, and the information that you are going to spit out to us is priceless, and I really appreciate that you guys take your time out to provide this resource to the entire community. So, my question to you is, what wakes you up in the morning? What are you most excited to work on at the start of your workday? And if you have a downfall like me, I suck at administrative stuff, I suck at answering emails, how can you make that better? How have you made that better? Thank you guys so much for your time. Much appreciated. Thanks.
That's a fantastic question. First of all, I have to point this out. Please don't submit questions and drive.
Safety first, guys. Safety first. So, Jonathan, I think this is a... First of all, thank you for the kind words in the beginning. I really appreciate that. It's nice to see that people, you know, are finding value out of this, and we hope to keep giving back to the community as long as we have support of people like you and people that keep submitting questions.
Aww.
Yeah. For me, it's tough to really put into... I've thought about this a lot, put into words what gets me up in the morning and gets me to be so ambitious. I think the best answer I can give is that I just have this feeling that I'm capable and meant to do more. And I think a lot of other entrepreneurs that are listening to this can relate to that. And I don't want to not live up to my potential. I think that's at a general level, the best way I can explain that. Just growing up, I always felt different. I was not that I'm saying that I'm better than other people. I just felt different. Like I looked at things differently, especially from a business point of view. People come to me for advice, my friends and family for their business ventures. So I don't want to have that go to waste. And I just feel like, you know, if you're not really pushing yourself to grow, you're not really living. So I think a combination of those things and that mindset is what really gets me up in the morning. Regarding what I'm not good at, I think this podcast is a good example of that. Ryan is really a lot better at a lot of the getting things done, like with a website, editing the audio. Like, I don't know how to edit audio. So my advice from my experience on doing things that you may not be so strong at is finding other people who are not only good at those things, but enjoy them. I think that's the perfect combination. So if you're not good at selling, hire someone that is great at selling and enjoys selling. If you're doing webinars for some product that you have online, find someone that loves doing webinars and is good at it. And I think once you start really stretching yourself out and doing something like that, that's when you really start to grow and it feels easier. I guess that would wrap up my advice. I don't know if Ryan, you have anything you want to throw in.
Well, I think Dunkin' Donuts gets you up in the morning.
I do run on Dunkin', that's true. Lots of Dunkin'.
We will talk about, you know, upcoming things, go back and forth, ideas. I think every hour or so, he'll send me a picture of another coffee cup.
They're all large, not the small ones, the large ones.
No. He's in it to win it. I mean, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it.
The cool part is sometimes they throw Starbucks in there, you know. I don't prejudice anyone against my coffee. I got Starbucks, I got 7-Eleven, I got Dunkin', you know. It's not just one brand.
Folgers. Hashtag sponsored post. For me, I think that, well, first of all, I really don't get up in the morning. I really do get up at the crack of noon. This is also the big difference is I work late at night. I will go to bed at 4 or 5 in the morning. So I think that it's part of my process. I know that I used to get a lot of flack from people from it. And you know what? It is just my thing. I get more accomplished when the phone stops ringing, when people stop buzzing me, when it gets really quiet. And that's just where I think I kind of come from. One of the other things is to also never get comfortable. Many times I've been told that I am or have been very successful, and I really have never seen myself as successful. It was always taught to me very early on, if you have a rental, why would you let it collect dust on a Saturday? I would much rather you like make a deal and see it go out and make money than just have it sit in the warehouse and do nothing. One of my good friends used to work for Joan Rivers, and he made a comment and said that I am very much like Joan Rivers in that she would always continue to work on herself, work on changes, and change up the business. Every year, actually, you kind of have to reinvent yourself every 3 years. The market changes. People get very comfortable. Oh, you know, I'm very successful. Oh, I'm going to get on my high horse. Oh, I'm going to make, you know, a whole bunch of big purchases. I don't really think I do that. I think that I am one that is very, I can be very cynical, and I can also, it's really hard for me to take in the good times whenever they're happening. And this can go very much with sales. You know, with sales, you have a fabulous 3 months and you start thinking, okay, where can I grow my business? You know, should I buy a new piece of equipment or whatever? And I have had friends where, you know, in what was it, 2008, where the market tanked, people lost everything. And that's because they weren't careful. You just need to be aware of what's going on and to still always be hungry. And I think that's something that really motivates me is you won't find me turn down a lot of business. If I turn down business, it means that I physically in the world that we occupy cannot do it.
Yeah. And just to jump in here with a couple points, I think when you first started your response, Ryan, what you said about, you know, what works for you is working late at night. A lot of other people say you got to get up early, you got to get up early and wake up 2 hours earlier and get all your stuff done. I think you hit it on the head where you have to find out what works for you. A lot of people just try to copy the advice out there like it's a formula. And if you just follow step 1, 2, 3, you become successful. It's really more about being thoughtful about what works best for you. And I think the other general theme to take away from this is that the constant pursuit of growth and personal development, you never get satisfied because you can always get better. And I like to observe people that are leaders of other industries, like let's say in business, you know, Elon Musk, the guy does not stop. I mean, yeah, he made a car. Yeah, he built a rocket. And I just saw that he's building tunnels for underground transportation. It's never ending, constant improvement. Even in sports, people like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, there's a lot of stories about how, you know, people see the results of your labor. Oh, wow, you're amazing. But they don't know what goes into it. They don't know how often Kobe Bryant was, you know, shooting in the gym alone at 3 o'clock in the morning, or Floyd Mayweather calls his trainer at 4 a.m. and goes on a 20-mile run. I saw that. Yeah. That mentality of constantly wanting to get better, I think, is just inside me. And I can see that it's inside Ryan. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs have that. They just don't know why it's there. I don't know why it's there, but it is. And I love it.
Kelly Williams made a very good point where, you know, she said that she takes Monday off, not really off, but she's the only one in the office on Monday. And that's just her day to have her little creative process. I think that we all need to find what is comfortable for us. I'm lucky that I don't have kids. I only have dogs. So I have the luxury of, you know, waking up at noon. I really don't. It's really more like 10. However, I used to really feel guilty about it until I realized, no, I get so much more accomplished in the, I'm such a night owl. I get so much more accomplished in those late hours than most people do all day.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, in my experience working with a lot of programmers and software developers, a lot of them, it takes time to get into that flow where you're really being productive. And you can't force someone to start that at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. or whatever it is. That's why you hear these stories about these developers and programmers that stay up late into the night with caffeine and Red Bull and are producing at a very high level, because it takes hours to get into that zone. And everyone has a different method and a different way and a different time that works for them. I think it's just a more explorative thing where you find what works for you and just follow that.
Yeah, this podcast is pretty much developed between midnight and 3 a.m. That's not almost exclusively.
Yeah.
No, it really isn't.
There's lots of vendors selling photo booths, backdrops, props, and all sorts of other stuff you didn't even think you needed. So what's one place where you can see and compare everything all at once?
The internet.
No, try again.
The Google.
No, the Photo Booth Expo.
Come see us live and in person at the Westgate Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, March 12th through the 14th. We have some fantastic giveaways and we can't wait to see you.
And now back to the show.
Okay, next question.
Hey, Superboothers. I'm just starting out with my new business in Australia. Literally no paid gigs yet. But I use a photo booth that I built myself and tried it out at some of my own parties, and it looks 90% professional. Do you think it's okay to use homebrew equipment like that, or am I asking for trouble? Do you have any ideas or suggestions for starting up with a low budget, like a tent made out of curtain rods and plumbing joints, which is kind of what I did? And also, do you find the industry to be generally helpful or totally competitive and territorial, and so likely to be unwelcome to newcomers?
Wow, that's a really good question. Thank you so much. Wes, I would really say, let me attack the first question first, and that's the, I have a photo booth and it's 90% done. I wouldn't necessarily be afraid to use it. I just think that you need to charge accordingly. I wouldn't go in there saying, you know, hey, you need to give me top dollar for this when, you know, it's really not exactly a top dollar product just yet. There's absolutely nothing wrong with anything DIY. Whenever I first got started, I purchased photo booths from a very large company, and then second go around, I did it again from another large company. And the third go around, I was like, you know what? I already know what I want. There's no need to do, I'm absolutely not going to spend money on something that I absolutely can make myself. And I have done 5 or 6 versions of a photo booth. So no, there's absolutely nothing wrong with starting out as DIY and then becoming a manufacturer. I think that we just did an episode with Thomas Siegel, who has done just the exact same thing. I find that photo booth people can be very welcoming if you go about it the right way. I think that I absolutely would not. And I hated whenever people did this to me. If you want my pricing, because that's generally the biggest thing that everyone wants, ask me for my pricing. Say, hey, listen, you know, I'm doing this. What information can you give me? That person has an opportunity to do one of two things. A, they can give it to you, or B, they can tell you to screw off. And if they tell you to screw off, then they're probably not going to be helpful to begin with. I would much rather have someone come straight forward to me, say, listen, here's what I would like. I will send them off my little one sheet with all of my pricing on it very happily. I would not sneakily go about it and go onto someone's website and fill out a fake inquiry. I know that people have done that on Thumbtack a lot, and you have to realize that costs people money to respond to that and to even view it. So, I mean, if someone is absolutely respecting my time, I will absolutely respect theirs.
Yeah, so Wes, I have not personally been the type that, you know, followed the DIY path. I bought all my booths as well. So personally, I didn't do that. However, I do agree with Ryan that as long as you're charging accordingly and actually not being deceptive about it, like the client sees the photo of what your setup actually is, you're not trying to show them something different. I see nothing wrong with starting out with something that you built yourself that's 90% what you want it to be. Some people just really like that building process, the creative process. And the good thing
and
about
you're never fully done. You're always working. Exactly. You're always tweaking it.
Exactly. The good thing about that is that you're always building on it, and you may get to a better point. It'll take longer, but you may get to a booth that you like more than what's already out there now. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it as long as there's transparency with clients and you do charge accordingly. Regarding the other question about the industry and the people in the industry, I think it's just like anything else. You know, I always tell my friends that people are people. You know, whether it's in the corporate world, in politics, or in the photo booth industry, there's always good and bad people everywhere. I mean, I've had stories of being at bridal shows and I step away for a minute and I come back and the competitors crawling through my booth and trying to see what equipment I use. But then there's also people out here like that you'll see on the podcast that are more than generous with their time, very happy to help. You just got to kind of go through the process of identifying who those people are and not take it too personally when you find people that are very competitive and crawling through your equipment. That's just, some people are just like that and there's nothing you can do about it.
Sharon, Jonathan, and Wes, thank you so much for submitting these awesome questions. And because your questions made it on the show, everyone today is getting a shirt or a mug. If you would like a shirt or a mug, we would love for you to submit your questions. If they make it on the show, you'll get the same thing.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to the next one. So keep those questions coming.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We love hearing your feedback. Please feel free to message us on Facebook, please submit us your questions at www.superbooters.com. Super Boothers swag is now available in the store at superbooters.com/shop. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week.